Christmas should be a time of excitement. There's presents, you might get what you want. Often it means seeing family, who we may not have seen for a period, and that can be great, enjoying time together with people you love. Although, for some, it comes with worries of fights that have occurred in the past. But it means time together. For the cricket tragics, it means looking forward to the Boxing Day test. Yet for some, Christmas may not be so exciting. You might not expect presents. You might not have family around. You might have to work over Christmas. You might have a church building project with legal issues and bills to look forward to in the new year. Yet for us, as Christians, still, the birth of our Saviour should be a time of real excitement. As we appreciate all that God's done for us through Jesus, the restored relationship and salvation that Jesus brings, and as we look forward to Him returning, being in His kingdom, where the values He stands for, values of love and mercy, are so central. They're key. Values that mean that people need to consider others more important than ourselves. Values that we need to live for. Enter a kingdom based around them. And as we look at the first Christmas, we see the mixture of excitement. Things not quite as we might like or expect. The Israelites are looking forward to a saviour coming, one from the line of David, who will depend on the Lord, have God's Spirit rest on him, and ultimately rule in justice and righteousness, one who will bring salvation. And as John speaks of, one who is God, the Word of God, coming and dwelling among us. Yet, when we switch to his birth, it's not what we'd expect. His parents, Mary and Joseph, have to travel just before Jesus is born because of a census. Definitely not ideal preparation for a birth. Today, people are banned from flying if they're close to birth. There are the problems, if you're away from home, of finding the appropriate support in terms of hospitals or midwives. But Mary and Joseph have no option because of the census, thought to be around 6 BC. They have to travel to Bethlehem, along with many others. And because communication is so much harder, they can't book a hotel room in advance. In fact, they can't find one at all, as there's no room for them. There's so many people arriving for the census. It's like finding accommodation at a city hosting the Olympics. If you haven't been able to book, you can't get a room. So Mary has to give birth in a stable and place Jesus in a manger, an animal food trough. Yet Jesus is born successfully. And we know the excitement around the newborn baby. Today, people send pictures as soon as they can after a baby's born. Yet, for Mary and Joseph, there's no family around to celebrate the birth with. But instead, other people turn up, unexpected people, people who are excited about the baby's birth, who say the baby's more than expected. He may be born in a place only really fit for animals, but he's a saviour. Yet they're shepherds, herding their flocks, and they're there because angels have chosen to appear to them, saying in Luke 2 verse 10, the angels said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then we find the host of angels singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men, on whom his favour rests. So from Mary and Joseph's viewpoint, they've got unusual visitors, people who have come to worship the child. They're not considered high in society. They're nomads looking after sheep for a living, coming to worship a child they say is the Saviour that Israel has been expecting. What's happening? It's certainly strange. Humanly, we certainly would not pick the nomads, the people with no fixed abode, to tell of a Saviour, a King of the Jews being born. It's not humanly what we'd expect for the birth of a Saviour, a King. Yet those who come are incredibly excited. The shepherds are excited. Those who hear them are amazed. And the shepherds are speaking of God's praises. Verse 20. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. They respond to God in praise. The predicted Saviour's been born. Clearly, Jesus is there for them, as the angels have appeared to them. And the importance of Jesus' birth not being in a palace or a place of human importance, and not attended by the leaders of the Jewish world, but by the poor, by the people of no abode. It speaks of what God does value, what he doesn't value, who the kingdom's for. Those who should be excited, those who should respond to him, and live for him whatever their circumstance. Not caring for position, human recognition, but for his kingdom. Those are the ones who should be excited by Jesus' coming. Those are the ones who should, like us, be excited at the prospect of his return. But we find the shepherds are not the only ones excited at Jesus' coming. When Joseph and Mary bring Jesus to the temple on the eighth day, so he can undergo the rather painful rite of circumcision, another man turns up, Simeon. He was old, but not prepared to die before he saw the Saviour of Israel. He knows God, listened to his spirit, and that moves him to act. Going into the temple courts, he sees Jesus, and taking him into his arms, he's excited, he says. Verse 29, Luke 2. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. Simeon knows what God has promised. It's a birth that's expected in the scriptures, a birth of a Saviour from David's line. And it's not just a Saviour for Israel, but a Saviour, as Simeon says, who'll bring revelation to the Gentiles, those who like us, who are not Jews. It's not only Simeon. There's also a prophetess, Anna, who became a widow only 7 years after marriage. Seen as not blessed by God, someone who suffers, but she comes up and cannot stop speaking about the child, about Jesus. She's excited about the promised salvation that he'll bring. And it's that salvation that Christmas is about. Restored relationship with God because of Jesus dying in our place to take his wrath. And ours looking forward to Jesus' return. A new and better world where the people in his kingdom share his values and therefore live for each other. So whether or not we have presents and family to be excited about this at Christmas, let's be excited because of all Jesus brings for us. Let's say as Isaiah does, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Father, we thank you for Jesus coming. We thank you that he lived among us. We thank you for his salvation that he brings by his death. And we look forward to him returning so we can live along with him in your kingdom. Jesus' name. Amen.